upon the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30, some 100-fold, no, some 60, and some 30. Just give it in the plan, Lord. He who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. Take care how you listen. Why would Jesus say, he who has ears, let him hear?
Everybody here
has ears. As I researched to look at the various commentaries to come across a aspect substantiated, but I located that the expression describes the fact that spiritual people can discern the intended spiritual meanings of prayer. I'll read that one more time. Spiritual people can discern the intended spiritual meaning of prayer. The implication is that unspiritual people would understand no more than the parable's surface meaning. So we got Jesus giving a parable that one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to understand it or you're not.
Okay.
Listen to this. Verse 18. Jesus' explanation of his own parable. Here. Jesus always said, here. But listen, check this out. I would imagine that hearing is definitely paramount to understand. I don't think anyone would disagree. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, now this is Jesus explaining the parable. So we shouldn't be confused about things that take place when we seek, or we desire to understand God's word. These are the things that are happening in the spiritual realm that affect us when we're seeking to acquire knowledge of God. And they affect all of us when we seek to desire God's word. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand, that goes back to hearing and understanding, that does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. That's not complicated to understand. If you hear it, if you do what Jesus said and take heed to how you listen, then it's not complicated to understand. When you start trying to acquire an understanding of what God's word is teaching, you're going to have an adversary that's coming along. When you don't understand it, his purpose is to take what you learn away. The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. And now we all know, in planting seeds, you throw some seeds out, and if you have a little plot of land at your house and you got concrete on the side, the seeds that hit the concrete, they don't get any nourishment, so they don't go anywhere. Okay. Jesus compares that to when God sows his word on man's heart and man doesn't understand it, that's the effect of that. Verse 20. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word, receives it immediately with joy. Yet, he has no firm root in himself, but only temporary, and when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Those individuals who hear the word, and are happy when they're hearing, but as soon as they go out into the world and have to deal with a lot of the ramifications that you have to deal with in order to exist, whether or not you're politically correct, whether or not you're educated, whether or not you want to continue to be employed or unemployed, or whether or not your wife's going to keep lying to you or your husband's going to keep lying to you. When affliction or persecution, either or, arises because of the word, you say, well, you know, this is what God says. As a result of you saying that, they say, well, okay, well, this is what's going to happen for you. Okay, in the negative sense. Okay. This person falls away. Okay. And this soil, because it was sown in rocky places, and this person has an interest in things more so less other than God, he's not going to have a word. Stronger, deeper, excuse me. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns. This is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world, and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes untrue. Now, I think that verse 22 has an impact on all of us, and in a sense, because we often wonder if wealth. Is it wealth that chokes out the word, or is it the person's motivation for accumulating wealth? His desire to have it is what chokes out the word. But the scripture says the wealth makes the word unfruitful. So while the person is seeking to accumulate his wealth, he doesn't really consider God while he's wealthy. Therefore, he can't be fruitful in the things of God. And last but not least, and the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, I like that, the good soil. And that puts me in mind of the church of Christ. Because my brothers and sisters are seeking to be pleasing in the sight of God. They're seeking to do, thus saith the Lord. This is the man who hears the word and understands. Also, there's a responsibility that comes with the understanding, which we readily seek approval from God in understanding whether or not we're doing it. And understands it. This is the man who hears the word and understands it. Isn't that wonderful? We hear the word, we understand. Seek a good soil. And he goes on to say, we bear fruit and bring forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. James 1, 22 and 25 is a good way to determine if the desire for the fruit has been sown in you, for sure. James 1, 22 says, but prove yourselves doers of the word. Not merely hearers who delude yourselves. And we can hear God's word, but the doers of God's word are the ones who, in fact, have actually heard it, have actually received it. Okay. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, again, God doesn't have trouble explaining his word. He hasn't interjected anything, and he just explains it to us so we don't have any difficulty understanding. Do. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. You look at yourself in the mirror and you turn around and you can hear what you look like. You have to turn around and look back. How many people do that? Forget what they look like. But once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. This is the man who will be blessed in what he does. This brings me to an important question. How well do we listen? How well do we listen? The Bible says in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In the Old Testament, God chose the people to live under the law of God. However, Romans 3:21-22 explains, so you understand, again, God's word being explained, those that hear have desire to hear. Well, we're here. But now the righteousness of God without the law, and this is for Christians and non-Christians alike, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest or revealed. In other words, God used the law with Israel, but now God is saying, my righteousness that I want you to be considering is the righteousness without the law. Is the righteousness without the law is manifested. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, those were the witnesses, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. People, there's a standard set by God that man must accept. Members that are of the Church of Christ, you know. Members that are not, you may not. That standard that we need to accept is Jesus Christ. How well do we hear it? And once you hear it and understand it, what do you do with it? Jesus said, preach the word. The church's purpose is to preach the word. And when I say preach, your life in Christ is a testimony. And I don't mean preach per se as I do, but in your activities from day to day, you share what you know to be true of God's word. And that's all the church has to do. God didn't make it complicated for us. He didn't make it hard. I could probably, if I had enough time to research it, tell you the Greek meaning of every word that I say, the Hebrew meaning, and so forth and so on. But it's already been done. God has made it so we have access to His Word. And that's something you can look right down the street and we all know. They don't really. They do. Unfortunately. I've come to the point now where I'm supposed to do an invitation. That standard that's been said by God through Jesus Christ, you have to accept in order to be pleasing to God. In order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, there are some things that we need to do, some things we need to understand. The Bible says, all of sin falls short of the glory of God. We need to repent of our sins and be baptized for the remission. Why do we have to do that? That's what God says we have to do. When you hear the word of God in faith, and you know it to be the word of God, you accept it. So, it is my hope that we have had an opportunity to hear some of what God wants us to hear in relation to hearing the word, receiving the word, and understanding. in relation to our desire to be pleasing to God. I understand that there's no way that any individual can absorb all of God's word in any one particular sermon. And I think that's why God gives us so much time and so many Sundays to come and hear what he has to say. Gives us so many opportunities. But I hope that this morning I've been able to share with you some things that will make your Christian walk desirable.
Amen.